This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
Are you sure? You had to think about it?
I wasn't sure.
Okay, fair
Maybe
enough.
Maybe I don't want to be Blaze anymore.
Well, you're Blaze. We've made the logo, we've made the commitment, the advertisements.
Fine.
You're stuck as Blaze. Today we are going to go back in time to 1994 to watch the second annual King of the Ring pay-per-view. But before we get to that, we have a big old NXT In Your House takeover show that happened over the past weekend. I'd like to go over that one real quick with you.
Alrighty then.
Okay, so it was a pretty good show. I think there's been better shows, but this was a pretty good show. Started off with a winner-takes-all six-man tag team match for the NXT North American Championship and the NXT Tag Team Championships. It was Bronson Reed and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma. And the stipulation here was Bronson Reed, he's the North American champion, and MSK, they're the tag team champions. And if they were to win, they keep their titles. If they were to lose to Legado del Fantasma, Santos Escobar would become the North American champion, and Wild and Mendoza, they would become the tag team champion. So it was an interesting type of match. And the match was a pretty exciting and pretty fun match also. And this was great because you had a more crowd there than usual. They actually had people all around where, you know, similar to, it's not quite the arena that WrestleMania was, but it was nice. It's an indoor facility. It's a small facility, but it was nice seeing more crowd at this NXT show. It was pretty fun. The next match was just, in my opinion, okay. It was Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. Xia Li won that match. By the way, the Bronson Reed and MSK won that six-man tag match to keep all their titles. The first match that was really, in my opinion, like, really great match was LA Knight defeated Cameron Grimes for the vacated $1 million championship. It was a ladder match for the $1 million championship, and that was a fun one. A lot of great spots in that match. Number one, ladder matches are always fun to begin with, but the fact that they brought the $1 million championship back for this ladder match, that was really exciting. I enjoyed that very, very much. With the live crowd, it looks like Cameron Grimes is pretty much going face, it looks like. LA Knight was definitely the heel in this match. People were chanting to the moon and everything for Cameron Grimes. It was pretty cool to see how much the fans have liked Cameron Grimes and what he's been doing lately. He has been hilarious with this whole rich gimmick, being a rich guy now. Next match was for the NXT Women's Championship. It was the champion Raquel Gonzalez with Dakota Kai defeating Ember Moon, and that was also a very exciting and fun match with twists and turns, and it was a good one. Raquel Gonzalez kept her championship. And then you had the fatal five-way match for the NXT Championship. Karrion Kross kept his title versus Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne. He won the match by submission. This was a fun, fun match also. A lot of great spots. These five put on a clinic. But definitely it was a fun pay-per-view. But the big thing that happened at the end of the show was William Regal teasing that he was going to retire. Said that the show's getting out of control. There was a lot of backstage mayhem that happened during the pay-per-view. He said that NXT has just gotten out of hand, and he just can't do it anymore, and he thinks it's time for a change. So the next show on NXT on Tuesday, you have him introducing Samoa Joe, and now Samoa Joe is like the enforcer on NXT. Looks like William Regal's going to stick around, but Samoa Joe is now the enforcer. So Samoa Joe is back with WWE. That's exciting news. It was fun to see him back on the show.
Cool. I mean, I'm excited that we haven't lost Samoa Joe anymore. I mean, I thought it was shocking that they would cut him. So it's nice that they grabbed him back up and put him on NXT.
Yeah, I was excited to see him back. Still confused why he's not wrestling. I heard he's medically cleared. I don't know if he's just felt like he don't want to risk any more injury. I don't know what's going on there.
I was under the understanding that he is medically cleared by some doctors, but not by WWE's doctors.
Okay, so that's going to do it for our NXT coverage. Let's go ahead and talk about another pay-per-view, which is the next pay-per-view we received over the past weekend, and that was WWE's Hell in a Cell. I don't know. I mean, we can go through these matches, but my personal opinion is both of the Hell in a Cell matches were pretty good, but everything else just felt filler. It just was not all that great of a show, in my opinion. I don't know. What'd you think of this?
The Bayley match at Hell in, the Bayley match with the Hell in a Cell. I really enjoyed that match. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed her tying, even though it didn't really go anywhere, but her tying the Bianca Belair's hair into the ropes and everything, and like they really used her hair in this match.
Yeah, Bianca was a great challenger. Bayley was a great challenger for Bianca because of her innovative ways of using that hair and just her, the way she... And there was a moment in this match, I don't know if you caught it, where she literally looked over and said, "Shut up, Michael Cole." Michael Cole was talking about what happened during the Sasha Banks Hell in a Cell match last year, and she literally, in the middle of being in the, you know, she's outside the ring getting weapons, and she looks over and says, "Shut up, Michael Cole, they watched it." It was one of my favorite moments. And then there was a part where Pat McAfee said, "Oh my God, it's legal to bite your opponent, but it's not cool. You don't do that." However he worded that was just pure commentating gold, letting the fans know it's legal, but not cool.
Not cool. It is hell.
Because Bayley bit Bianca Belair. It's like, what the hell? Like, Pat McAfee is gold. I love Pat McAfee. I love that he's commentating for WWE on a regular basis. This is just pure gold. And some of his commentating at the Hell in a Cell was some of the best. It was amazing. I don't know. Just some of the snippets. Even if the match was bad, there was stuff that he said that was great. But luckily that Hell in a Cell match was very good. Unfortunately, it was outshined by the men's Hell in a Cell later in the night, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Where I thought last year, I thought Sasha Banks and Bayley tore the house down. They were the better Hell in a Cell. Where this year, I thought Drew and Bobby was the better between the two Hell in a Cells. Just an opinion. You might disagree with my opinion. I really, really enjoyed it. I just thought
the men's this year was better.
I really enjoyed it as well. We'll get to it, but okay. I don't know if I can say it was better.
Okay,
well, I mean, really enjoyed the Bayley one.
I really enjoyed it too. I just thought I really also enjoyed the other one, but I just had a preference this time where I thought Sasha Banks and Bayley stole the show at the last Hell in a Cell, where I thought they were.
Oh, just, yeah, they were fantastic.
They stole the show. But moving on, you had a Seth Rollins-Cesaro match. Confused about Seth Rollins winning that match. I thought they were building Cesaro up. So I was shocked to see Seth Rollins win that. I don't even think he cheated. I think he won that clean. I'm trying to remember. I don't think there was any kind of, you know, underhanded stuff. I think he just surprised Cesaro.
Yeah, I think it was more of a surprise than
like
cheating.
It was just like a roll-up. It was just weird. I just didn't think it was great. The next match was Alexa Bliss, Shayna Baszler. This was just full of, you know, the magical stuff. I don't know if this was a great match. This was just full of the weirdness that's been going on, which...
Really, the only weirdness they had was Alexa Bliss, like, controlling
Nia Jax
for some reason.
I really thought there was more that was going to happen with that whole controlling, like maybe make Shayna Baszler.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I really thought there was more going on there.
That might be like a teaser for what
maybe. It was just weird. I don't know. It was just weird. Everything going on with Alexa Bliss right now is kind of... She's a great character, but I don't know. They just kind of randomly put this feud together with Shayna Baszler, and it just... I just don't know where it's going. The Fiend's gone. It just weird stuff to me. It's just odd time right now. Next match, Sami Zayn, he defeats Kevin Owens. Shocked about that, to be honest with you. But the match was just okay. Once again, it was just okay. The next match was probably the most disappointing of the night for me, because I really do like Rhea Ripley. Charlotte Flair defeated Rhea Ripley, but it was by disqualification. So the Raw Women's Championship stays on Rhea Ripley, which I'm happy about, but the way it happened was weird. They had a 14-minute match, and then Rhea just did something. It was a weird cheat, too. She used the table, part of the table, and got disqualified, like part of the announcer table. It was just an odd, once again, just...
It is odd.
Odd finish to the match.
It's a very weird end.
It was a very weird finish to the match. I don't think it benefits either girl. Rhea loses the match but keeps the title. Charlotte wins but by disqualification. It was just a weird... I personally just thought it was a weird night. I thought it was just pedestrian. Most of the matches were pedestrian. I thought the Hell in a Cell matches were great, but other than that, I thought it was just an odd, mediocre night of wrestling. Unfortunately. I thought a lot of these matches are things you could see on Raw and SmackDown any given day of the week. They didn't feel pay-per-view quality. Maybe they built Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley up as if it was pay-per-view quality, but then they had them both going on losing streaks with Nikki Cross before the pay-per-view. So, it's just weird stuff going on right now with the creative.
Very weird stuff.
But then the main event definitely gave us something better. I thought the Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre match was very fun. I really enjoyed some of the stuff that happened. Bobby Lashley powerbombed Drew into the cage, and it looked vicious. Oh my gosh, it looked vicious. There was just some moves there that I just loved. And then the fact that Drew forced them to open the cage to get a new referee in there because the referee got knocked out, which was his own fault, I think.
I liked that the door got locked with
with MVP in.
Yeah.
I thought that was genius. The MVP got locked in the cage with Drew, but he definitely helped affect the match in that cage. And it was just kind of poetic justice that Drew was the reason the door got open to begin with. So it was just the way they went about. This match was just masterfully crafted. I just thought this match was gold.
I really enjoyed this match as well. Like I said, I think I enjoyed Bayley slightly more, but not by much. I mean, this was a fun match. Both the Hell in a Cell matches were
Oh, yeah, they were both good. You have a preference on one, I have a preference on another. I think a lot of the reason I preferred the men's was because of a lot of the MVP stuff that happened and the way the cage got locked. And I thought there was a little bit more storytelling, a little bit extra to that match that made it unique.
Fair enough.
Both matches were brutal. Both matches had weapons and great spots. Like I said, one of my favorite spots was Bobby Lashley powerbombing Drew into the cage.
Yeah.
It looked hellacious. It looked vicious and painful. And I thought it was great. Love that kind of carnage during the Hell in a Cell match. It was one of those, you don't get a lot of moments while watching wrestling nowadays where you're like, holy shit. And you hear those chants when they happen, and there's a reason. If there was a live crowd, that was a holy shit moment. To see him throw a man the size of Drew McIntyre the way he did and how he did, that was a holy shit moment, and I thought it was great.
That's fair.
So that's our coverage for the 2021 Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Overall, I just, maybe a C, I guess. If it wasn't for those two Hell in a Cell matches, the rest of the show was very pedestrian. But those two Hell in a Cell matches definitely made it watchable. Just a lot of just blah in the middle, though, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. Tell us what you think on the social media sites or the phone number. I'd love to hear your take on the Hell in a Cell. If I had to choose one or the other, I would have watched TakeOver In Your House. Just my opinion there. NXT is killing it. But let's go ahead and move on to what we do best, and that's classic wrestling. 1994, King of the Ring. So before we get into this coverage, we do have a major announcement. We are going to be switching to a two-week schedule. So our shows will now release every other week. This is due to scheduling conflictions. Our lives are starting to get a little bit busier. Sports coming up. We've got summer vacations coming up. And it's just getting harder and harder to get together once a week to do this show. So we are going to start doing this bi-weekly. So this episode will release on Saturday, but then another episode won't release for 2 weeks from there instead of the usual weekly schedule. So we want to make everybody aware of that. Hopefully that that helps you out, getting caught up with our show too, you know.
Right.
There you go. That we're doing this as a favor.
Yeah, this for you guys. This is for you, yeah.
This is for you. But anyhow, we just wanted to make that announcement, and without further ado, here we go. King of the Ring. Okay, so the show starts off with a little bit of a comedy sketch with Double J, Jeff Jarrett, predicting the winners on the King of the Ring tournament board. And then, of course, you get Bam Bam that comes in, and IRS. They all, put their 2 cents in. I think there was another, was that it? Was it just Bam Bam, IRS? Double J. So they all put their 2 cents in on who they think is going to win the King of the Ring tournament. Then we go to the announcement that Ricky Medlock, lead singer of Blackfoot.
Yeah, this is the next comedy segment.
He does the national anthem, and it is
absolutely frickin' terrible.
It was pedestrian at best. If you, we've heard worse.
If you want to say, I hate America without saying, I hate America, you have Ricky Medlock do the national anthem.
It's kind of harsh. I just thought he was just mediocre, but okay. I didn't think he, like, completely...
I mean, he's not Rockin' Robin bad, but...
spirits, but, once again, we have heard worse.
We have so heard worse.
It is what it is. So then we move on to our first match, which is a King of the Ring tournament match. It is Razor Ramon versus Bam Bam Bigelow.
The bed guy.
And I thought this was a decent match. It was kind of short. There wasn't a lot to this match. It was just decent match. But I really liked the way it ended. Just the way it ended was kind of a false ending where you thought Bam Bam Bigelow was going to do his jump off the top rope. I think, well, he was facing forward, so he must have been wanting to do the flying headbutt. Probably. He also does the moonsault off the top where he'd be facing backwards if he was doing the moonsault. So he must have been preparing to do the flying headbutt. Instead, Razor Ramon almost power bombs him off the top rope into a pinfall, and that's how you get the win. So no Razor's Edge. It was just a very different ending. I really enjoyed the way this match ended. It was just kind of a shocker. I would have gave this probably 3.5 power bombs off the top rope, I guess.
You would have?
I will.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, what do you give it?
No, I'm giving it 3.5. It was a decent match. I really liked the ending.
Yeah, it was all right. We got to see some Bam Bam athletics. You know, he did some enziguris. That was interesting.
Yeah.
We got to see a precursor to a torture rack. A little bit, kind of torture rackish.
I don't think they called it anything. Matter of fact, that's something we got to bring up about the commentating. No Vince McMahon. I had to look this up, but it turns out this was during the 1994 steroid scandal.
Uh-huh.
So Vince McMahon was dealing with the trial. So he stepped away, and Macho Man Randy Savage and Gorilla Monsoon is doing commentating. So I was very little surprised when we didn't hear Vince's voice. Because we hear Vince's voice at every pay-per-view.
Not everyone, but a lot of them.
I can't think of one that we didn't.
Lately, he's been showing up a lot. But there was a couple pay-per-views where he wasn't the commentator. But he's normally there. Like, possibly, you know, doing other stuff. But, yeah, no Vince McMahon. But, yeah, it was an alright match. I don't know if I say it's 3.5. I would say about, shoot. 2.5 not quite torture racks.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Okay, the next match we get is IRS versus Mabel from Men on a Mission. And this was, once again, it was just a decent, okay match. Nothing real special. But once again, it was a creative way of ending the match. So far, two matches, and both matches are very creative in the way they've ended them. So IRS starts shaking the ropes while Mabel is on the top turnbuckle, and he shakes him to where he falls down, and that's how IRS gets him, rolls him up, and holds on to the ropes for leverage, too. He cheats to win here.
Cheats!
But it was just a unique way of finding a way to finish this match. So I enjoyed that part of it. The rest of the match was just there. But once again, nothing bad going on here. They're just lackluster.
I disagree with this assessment that IRS cheated to win. He just took the Bill Belichick school of winning a match. That's all.
You're gonna go there.
That's right. How do I reach these kids?
Oh my gosh. So anyhow, I'm gonna give this probably 2.5 stumbles off the top rope.
Yeah, this match wasn't much. IRS is decent. Mabel's decent. But it's kind of like two decent people aren't really elevating it much. You know, and like you mentioned, it does have an interesting ending. Loved the, just, he holds on to the ropes, you know, does what it's needed to be done to win and take out Mabel. So, I give this, 2 Tom Brady's.
What?
Because he's a star like Tom Brady.
Oh my gosh. Okay, just any chance you have to just kind of dig at those guys, you know, 7-time Super Bowl winner, you know, yeah, you're just, you know, just dig at him.
Yeah, they take the very special school.
Even though all he does is win, 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 no matter what.
No matter what. Exactly my point.
Move on. Okay, so the next match is between Tatanka and Owen Hart. It is another King of the Ring tournament match. And I thought this one was very exciting. The crowd was really, really into this one. And it was back and forth. There wasn't just one guy that you thought was going to win this match. It was a back and forth, great wrestling, great moves going on. I thought this was great. I really enjoyed this one. I gave it, Owen Hart ends up winning when Tatanka tried to do a sunset flip. Owen countered it into a, where he just kind of dropped on his knees and pinned Tatanka 1-2-3.
Yeah, Tatanka loses again.
Yeah, it seems like after the winning streak, he's, you know,
losing a lot.
It appears to be so. But I'm going to give this one 4, I guess, I don't know, just 4 broken hearts. How about that? I don't have nothing major for this.
Yeah, this was an all right match. I liked it. Also should mention that we had a little bit of an interview with Yokozuna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they told him... Yeah. But, so... Yeah, this is an alright match. I liked Owen Hart winning again, and technically he won clean.
Yeah, he did win clean. He didn't do nothing to cheat to win. He just, like I said, he countered that sunset flip. He was actually on the ropes there. Tatanka was definitely winning, you know, beating him up pretty good towards the end of that match. But at the beginning of the match, he had his, you know, spots where he was getting in a lot of stuff on Tatanka. So it was a true back-and-forth effort. But they made you really believe towards the end Tatanka was going to win this match. And then Owen did that counter and won the match. So nothing dirty, though. There was nothing...
He won the match clean. It was a clean win. Owen Hart wins it. Owen Hart's definitely the one that should have won it, I feel. I mean, no offense to Tatanka, but I'm enjoying seeing this rise of Owen, you know?
Yes.
So I'm going to give this 3.5 rises of Owen.
Rises of Owen, okay. Okay, so before the next match, we get an interview with the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels and Big Daddy Cool Diesel talking about the upcoming match. Diesel is going to face Bret Hart for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship later on in the show. It was a pretty fun interview. Shawn Michaels doing Shawn Michaels things. I enjoyed it very, very much.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're kind of pushing Diesel. I didn't realize they did that this soon.
Yeah, he's now the Intercontinental Champion, and then this is champion versus champion here at King of the Ring. Although they have made it clear on Monday Night Raw that the Intercontinental title is not on the line, only the WWF World title is on the line. Okay, so now we're going to move on to the next match, which is our last first round qualifying, or I guess it's not a qualifying match, it's a tournament match, for the King of the Ring tournament. That is Double J Jeff Jarrett versus 1-2-3 Kid. This was another, I thought, fun, exciting match. A lot of high-octane flying moves. And the crowd really, really seemed to be into this one as well. I really liked the way this match went. It also had a false finish where you thought Double J was about to win. 1-2-3 Kid rolls him up, gets the 1-2-3. But what's interesting is that after the match, Jeff Jarrett throws a temper tantrum, spikes 1-2-3 Kid three times on his head with three pile drivers, and then jumps off the rope, what, another four times with like a flying fist? And it sounds like we're going to get a bye with Owen Hart, because they're going to say that 1-2-3 Kid is not going to be able to perform.
Actually, I'm hoping that they decide to change that, and I'm kind of hoping that 1-2-3 Kid comes out there and fights anyways, despite his...
They might, and we'll see what happens.
I'm hoping, because they've done this every single tournament pay-per-view we've watched.
There's always somebody with a bye.
Always someone with a bye.
Yeah.
Every single time. Just once. I won a full pay-per-view.
There was once...
full tournament.
At WrestleMania, when they did the tournament, I think there was a time limit was reached for one of the matches.
And then double disqualification with Andre and Hulk Hogan. I will never forget that bullshit.
There just seems to always be something that causes us to have a bye in one of these tournaments they decide to perform. And in this case, it was a little different, interesting, which, don't get me wrong, we could still have this match, but they're setting it up to make sure that we don't have this match.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely sowing the seeds. I'm just hoping that it's a red herring, a fake out. I'm hoping that we don't have this happen where 1-2-3 Kid can't make it to the next match.
So, to keep in tradition with this match, I'm going to go ahead and give this 3.5 pile drivers.
That's what Jeff Jarrett gave 1-2-3 Kid.
I know!
No, this was a fun match. I liked this one. I mean, the match... I liked the end. I liked Jeff Jarrett getting angry and just wailing and tearing them apart with these pile drivers, and like the refs tried to come in and stop it. Like the end after the match, and I believe every single one of these tournament matches have been like a surprise roll up, or you know, every single one of these has been something, some kind of interesting end. You know,
yeah,
like everyone, and that's kind of cool for. You know, considering these are the first round of the matches, having more surprise quick endings instead of an actual final ending. So, I've been enjoying the pay-per-view thus far. At least the endings have been exciting.
Definitely.
All right. I'm going to give this 3. 1-2-3, ow. For those pile drivers, yeah, the 1-2-3 yeah, Kid took.
Yeah. Top of the head pain. Ouch.
Yeah, ow.
Okay. Okay, so before the next match, we get an interview with Bret the Hitman Hart, talking about his upcoming match that he's about to perform in. And then we also get, before the match starts, a surprise that Bret Hart has been promising that one of his family members would be at ringside with him, and ends up being Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah, kind of a cool surprise. It was really a cool surprise. I mean, we haven't seen Jim the Anvil in how many years?
It's been a while. Pretty much since Bret Hart.
I think 91.
Since he's been singles competition, so it's been a couple years for us. since we've seen Jim the Anvil Neidhart. But definitely a nice surprise to see him there at the show. And then we get Diesel and Shawn Michaels. They come down. And I'll tell you what, this was a hell of a match. This was a very, very good match. A lot of back and forth. A lot of shenanigans by Shawn Michaels in the on the outside. I really, really enjoyed a moment where Jim the Anvil was chasing Shawn across the outside area, and then they'd slide through the ring. I really enjoyed that spot. Just a lot of great stuff in this match. And this match did a lot to help put Diesel over without giving him the world title. Unfortunately, Diesel does lose this. Well, actually, technically, he wins it. But he wins it by disqualification, so he doesn't win the WWF World Heavyweight Championship. But I just thought this was a very good match. Obviously, it's a Bret Hart match, so you expect a lot. But being that it was against Diesel, that young in his career, and being such a big man, I wasn't sure how this match was going to go. But they went for 22 minutes. I mean, this was a very, very good match. So I'm going to have to give this probably 4.5 jackknife power bombs, because he did get the jackknife on Bret Hart, and Jim the Anvil actually came in and attacked Diesel and caused it to be a disqualification. So he did not win the title because of Jim the Anvil. So it was also interesting knowing that Bret's the face, but Jim the Anvil cheated to keep the title on Bret. It was very interesting.
In fairness, they didn't play it off like he was trying to cheat. They played it off. Diesel literally just attacked Jim the Anvil
on the
outside, and he was down for a little bit. And when Jim the Anvil got up, he was pissed, so he came running in the ring, and it didn't feel like he was there to stop the jackknife. It felt more like, you just attacked me, I'm attacking back, and I don't care what happens. Like, that's the story that I felt like they were trying to tell there.
Yeah, it was just interesting, the dynamic of, you know, usually when there's cheating involved, or, a disqualification in that scenario, it's usually the heels that do it, is what my point was.
Oh, no, I get your point.
In this case, it benefited the face. He got to keep the title. You don't see a lot of faces keep the title on a DQ in this way.
I get your point. I just, like I said, I was just pointing out, I just wanted to be clear, in case people aren't watching the pay-per-views with us.
People don't watch the pay-per-views while listening to the podcast?
I don't know.
I mean, that should just be... just...
obvious?
Obvious. You should follow along the pay-per-view, and then you hear what we have to say about it. That's
right.
That's just what you should do. That's what makes our podcast so much great.
So much great?
Yeah, I said what I said.
Well, that is painful. Painful grammar. Okay, so much great. Yes, that would be the ideal way to listen to our podcast, is watch a match, listen to our commentary, boom, boom, boom. Anyways, I was just explaining that they were kind of telling a story that Jim the Anvil Neidhart is a bit of a hothead and was angry about being attacked, and he fought back. I enjoyed this match quite a bit, if nothing else, for the antics of Shawn Michaels. There was a time where Shawn is on the apron, and Bret Hart punches him, and he just... you know, Shawn oversells everything, and I love it. And he just flies and hits his head on the banister on the outside. Another thing, you know how we kind of complain about, or mostly you, complain about submission holds and how long they take and stuff like that?
Well, I just think sometimes they drag out a little too long.
Well, on this match... they had a moment where Diesel has Bret Hart up, and he's kind of like, I guess it was a submission, but he was kind of holding him up in the air with one shoulder, and at the same time, you had Jim the Anvil Neidhart arguing with the ref, and you had Shawn Michaels trying to undo the turnbuckle. So, in this instance, we had a decently long submission hold, but action on the outside. So we still had stuff going on while a submission hold was going on. And I thought that was kind of cool. You know, it may be kind of boring or long, but at least you had more of a story being told as it's going on. So I thought that was kind of cool. You had Brett hitting Shawn Michaels hitting Bret Hart in the back with a belt. This really kind of the start, or not the start, but I mean, we're getting some more feud. I mean, this feud is legendary. I know Shawn didn't fight in this match, but he was essentially part of this feud, even though Diesel was the one actually wrestling.
Right.
So this feud continues. We get another great part of the feud. A lot better than Knights. Yes.
Yeah.
The match that must not be named.
Yeah, I forgot about that already.
That's definitely the low point of their feud. I'm gonna just say that right now, because I don't think there's anything that gets worse than that in their feud. We'll see, but I don't think there is. I don't think it's possible there could be something worse than that match. But yeah, this bunch of antics. I liked this also includes Shawn, but I liked when Brett had Diesel on the ground and managed to get him into kind of a modified sharpshooter. And Shawn thought everything was in hand, but it was kind of a quick reversal on Brett. And Shawn just turns around and sees that Diesel's in a sharpshooter. He's like, oh shit. That was a pretty fun reaction. Just a lot of entertainment. And a decent match. I enjoyed this quite a bit. I'm going to give this 4. Oh man, what do I give this? 4 Shawn holy shits.
Okay.
Just for that expression. It was really cool.
Okay, well that's going to end up doing us for the first part of our King of the Ring 94 coverage. This is going to have to be a two-part episode here. So far, I think the matches have been decent. I think this last match was the only one really special. I think we had another really, really good one earlier, though. So far, this has been a pretty okay, good pay-per-view. I can't wait to see what we got coming. We've got Jerry the King Lawler versus Rowdy Piper yet. We got a tag team title match with the new champions or the Head Shrinkers, and they're going to be taking on Yokozuna and Crush. And then we still have the second round of the King of the Ring tournament and the finals. So far this. This King of the Ring's shaping up to be pretty fun. Hopefully it stays that way. Hopefully we don't have any jesters or knights or whatever we had. hopefully it doesn't go that sour. So, let's go ahead and plug the pluggables.
Well, you can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me on the YouTube. You can find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro, and you can give us a phone call and leave a voicemail. at 567-443-0663. We would love to be your friend and talk to you about wrestling on these, any of these sites. I'm pretty active on them. I would definitely respond if you guys hit us up on it. So, if you could, I have a very heartfelt message for you. I'm missing stars. It's one of the most beautiful things in the world. And I just need 5 of them from you. If you got that iPhone, those iPodcast, give us those 5 stars. Give us a review. Subscribe. That's how we get found out by other people. So we can have a large group of friends. And we like friends. Don't we, Rage?
Yeah, I know. My kids are really into Friends right now. They've been binging on it.
No.
I mean, they even got a shirt they got from Target and everything. They love it.
This is not the one where we talk about Friends, okay?
Oh, no, this is the one we talk about wrestling.
Yes.
Okay, so you can find the Rage and Blaze Show on Facebook, on the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page. You can find at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and you can find me at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. Definitely hit us up. Talk wrestling with us. That's what we do. That's what we like to do, and that's what we want to do. So definitely hit up some of them social medias and the phone number and talk wrestling with us. I mean, come on, you know you want to. So, all right, that's going to do it for our King of the Ring 94 Part 1 coverage. We will be back in 2 weeks for the King of the Ring Part 2 coverage. We are going to that bi-weekly schedule, so don't forget that. But we're just changing it up. We've got things going on this summer. It's just harder and harder to get together once a week for us to do this podcast. So we're going to have to start doing a bi-weekly thing with vacation and sports coming up. So it'll just make it easier on us to be able to get together within 2 weeks to do our show, as opposed to we usually get together once every week, and it's just getting harder and harder to do that. We don't want to miss a show for you, so we're just going to switch to a bi-weekly schedule from here on. So this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.